This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The idea of a teen crisis line isn't a new one. But think about it. When's the last time you've seen a teenager pick up a phone, dial a number, and call someone? That's why teen crisis centers are partnering up with the first and only crisis hotline to conduct its interventions completely and totally by text. It's called CTL Crisis Text Line. Oakland County's Common Ground is now a partner with CTL. Lisa Turbeville is the Resource and Crisis Helpline Manager there at Common Ground. Good to have you with us, Lisa.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you for having me.
Common Ground, I know I've grown up in Oakland County, has had that phone crisis line going for, what, 40 years now. But, boy, it seems so logical that kids in 1975 had to pick up the phone, kids in 2015 text.
They did. That was the only outlet years ago. We had a crisis line for over 40 years. We also tried to start a teen line about 15 years ago where we had teen counselors working on the phones, but it never really took off. It hasn't been a big success. So we decided to meet the youth where they are, and that's via text and chat.
Boy, isn't that the truth. So I know with Crisis Text Line, only starting since December 2013, and the only and first crisis hotline to conduct conversations and interventions by text, so you're part of that. You're a partner with them?
Correct. They're based out of New York. We actually started our Common Ground local text line in July of 2012, and since then it's been a really big success. So we partnered with the National Suicide Prevention Line, and we also partnered with Crisis Text Line out of New York.
What are you seeing? How does texting change the way that a teen might share what's troubling him or her?
What we've seen is that, you know, we can be objective. They feel safe. They're used to communicating that way. They spend 95% of their time communicating via text, so they're safe. It's their comfort zone. We can be objective. Sometimes they're embarrassed to talk to others or ashamed or afraid. So we're able to provide that outlet for them so they can reach out for help, and it's confidential and anonymous, so they like that. Also provides a level of privacy that a phone call can't. And what I mean by that is, when you're texting, they can't overhear. No one can overhear your conversation. It's particularly a good outlet for people who are in a domestic violence situation or in some kind of situation where they need to reach out secretly or privately.
I can only imagine that talking on the phone could make a bad situation even worse if they're overheard.
And also it's mobile. You know, if they're in a situation where they're not safe or they don't feel safe, they can text us. And we can try to intervene and get them help via text so that no one can overhear them.
How does it play out then? You get a text. Give me a for instance.
A lot of our texts have to do with self-harm and suicide and bullying, mental illness. So, for example, a teen will text in and we'll start by asking them, you know, what's going on. And depending upon, you know, what their situation is, we will provide crisis intervention via text. And then we'll try to link them up with resources. If they already have a therapist, you know, we'll encourage them to get in touch with their therapist. If they don't, we can give them resources on where to get help.
Mm-hmm. The thing I'm wondering is there a follow-up? Do you find out if indeed they did? I guess I'm wondering, is there a sense of a completion that perhaps you would get in a phone call? Do things seem to get left hanging by text? Or do you feel it also is a complete intervention?
Well, we certainly try to do a complete intervention. We don't always know the outcome, but we try to. Sometimes we hear back from them. We certainly encourage them to text us again if they ever need us to. And if we do any kind of intervention where we connect them with someone, then we know the outcome. But sometimes we don't.
Yeah. Well, actually, I guess it'd be the same with a phone call.
It is.
Are you finding that more young people are reaching out to you now that you're offering this text option versus what you had with the phone?
Absolutely. In fact, we can't even keep up with the demand. We actually need more volunteers to help. The first year of existence, we had 8,910 text messages, mostly from the age group of 13 to 25. And that's only what we were able to take. We weren't able to take more than that. But certainly, you know, the crisis text line, the national text line, they haven't even reached out across the country, and they just had their 5 millionth text last month. So the need is out there. The demand is out there, and we're just trying to build this program up so we can respond to the need out there.
I'm speaking with Lisa Turbeville, who's the Resource and Crisis Helpline Manager at Common Ground in Oakland County. This, I think, Lisa, it demands something of an older generation and some awareness that a text coming from a youngster is as valid as a phone call. And I'm wondering if you could share some maybe good and helpful responses for parents and others in the family to use when a teen texts with a problem or an event or something that has them anxious or depressed? I'm guessing what I hear is the first thing is don't say call me. Don't pick up the phone and try to talk. You should keep the text going.
We do offer to either call them or have them call us as well, call the crisis line directly. But if they prefer to just text, then we just stick with that, however we can help them best. So certainly for parents, you know, I would encourage them to suggest and encourage their kids to utilize the service because we offer support. What's also nice is we're 24 hours a day. You know, they don't have access to their therapists or their school counselors or doctors during the middle of the night. And maybe they don't want to wake their parents or anyone. But they can reach out to us and we'll be there.
Let's say as a parent, you get a text and you want to be helpful. Could you give us some ideas of some do's and don'ts?
Well, definitely, you know, do listen. Do reflect back to them what you're hearing them say so that they know that you're listening. So we like to de-escalate them, let them know that we're here listening to them, that it's a safe place to talk. They can talk to us about anything, that, you know, we will try to link them up with some help. Basically letting them know that they're not alone. We try to normalize what they're going through. So if they're talking about something, we let them know that that could be a common issue. We certainly try to find out who their supports are in their life, who they feel comfortable talking to, whether that's a friend, a neighbor, a school counselor, you know, a coach, whoever they feel safest with. And then we encourage them to share, if they haven't already, share that with that person. And then we try to link them up with services and see if there's something else that they want help out there for. We help them come up with a plan for that night or for the day. So, for example, if they're calling and they feel the urge to self-harm, mm-hmm. We'll talk with them about their feelings and their coping skills and trying to come up with other things that they can do to relieve the pain instead of harming themselves. You know, after that, basically, you know, trying to keep them safe, connect them to what they need, whether it's a personal or professional in their life. And then things that we don't want to do is we certainly don't want to discourage them for using our services. We don't want to turn them away. We don't want them to feel embarrassed to share anything with us. We don't want them to feel scared. So we really want to connect with them and let them know and really thank them for taking the courage to reach out to us, because it takes a lot of courage to reach out for help.
I suspect that a parent's first inclination would be if, you know, something happened, like, you know, he broke up with me, to either for a parent to go, well, why, what happened, or else to say, well, that's okay, you didn't even like him.
Right. Right.
Which really, I suspect those are both initial responses that a parent might go to, but probably not the most helpful.
That's why people like going to therapists or crisis centers, because we can be objective. We don't know the boyfriend, you know, that you just broke up with. Your family does. And certainly, sometimes they don't want to talk about it. You know, kids, they think, oh, my mom would never understand. They forget that, you know, their mom dated back in the day, too. So they don't feel comfortable, or they don't have a close relationship, so they don't want to talk about that with them. So they feel comfortable coming to someone else.
How would someone reach out to you? What's the best way to reach out? As you say, you're there 24/7.
Great. And they can reach us at www.commongroundhelps.org. And then through our website, they can also, you know, link to our other services, which also includes chat, which they can do over the computer if they don't want to call or if they can't text.
Fantastic. Lisa Turbeville of Common Ground, the Oakland County Crisis Intervention Center, there for over 40 years and now incorporating a chat and text to reach out to teens in need. Thank you so much for talking with us, Lisa.
Thank you, Cindy, and thanks for bringing attention to this much-needed service.
One Michigan teen who reached out to Common Ground via text is Anthony Grappito. Anthony's 19, and when he was 16, he was in crisis and sent a text to Common Ground looking for help. Anthony's here with us now. What was going on then, Anthony?
You know, I was feeling pretty depressed down at the time, you know, dealing with some high school problems and some of my own, you know, mental challenges.
I know you were a varsity wrestler and you were on track for a college scholarship.
Yeah, I was planning on wrestling throughout my entire college career and writing my my funds for college off of that, and I guess that just didn't work out. I got slammed in a match, and, you know, I hurt my shoulders and I hurt my head pretty bad. Really, it kind of made me super depressed because I thought that I lost my future, and I just really set my brain off weird, where I just couldn't see straight for a while and couldn't think or do anything.
I'm curious, did you talk to anyone around you about that, or were you just trying to work it out on your own?
It was kind of back and forth. There's a lot of memory loss that comes with kind of the traumatization of the whole situation with me. But I do remember that for a while I just tried to kind of get it off on my own. And then from there I went to family members and, you know, had a couple friends try and help me. But, you know, in the end, they really didn't have the tools to be able to, you know, to do, I guess, what Common Ground did for me after that text message.
Well, when did you hear about Common Ground's crisis text line?
They actually did a presentation at our school. Someone came and talked to our school from Common Ground, and then I was able to get the number from there and everything. And that's when I heard about the texting.
And I'm interested, Anthony, why was the idea of reaching out through text more appealing to you versus a phone call?
You know, I feel like it's easier to write things down than it is to speak it sometimes, to where, you know, it feels like you save yourself the embarrassment of going through the situation. And, you know, it doesn't feel as real, I guess, if you're texting as opposed to, if, you know, on the phone and I'm kind of embarrassed to tell someone. But, you know, when you're just texting, it's just kind of words, you know, just on a piece of paper, in this case a phone, to where it was a little bit easier to open up because I didn't have to voice my thoughts. I just had to think them.
So what did you send? You sent a text to them? What was the conversation like?
Like, I don't remember, you know, word for word what the text conversation was. But, you know, I was just kind of talking to them that, you know, I was just feeling suicidal that night, and they got me through it. They gave me the tools to kind of help me over. It's not like they called, like, the police and they busted in my door and people tried to stop me, but they gave me the tools and texted me back through it. And, yeah, I don't think I ever, you know, actually used the words I was going to do it, but I think that if that's when they start taking other steps, if you tell them your plan or something. I don't really know how that works.
Sure. Well, what kinds of messages did you get back from them that seemed to work for you? Because clearly it did.
I mean, the gist of the messages were basically that they weren't really asking, you know, what's the matter with me or, you know, what's wrong with me. They seemed very caring. They asked, you know, what happened, you know, were very supportive and gave me, you know, different alternatives that could kind of help me out. Different alternatives from, obviously, you know, harming myself or ending my life. Some of the tools, I guess, that they gave me are, if you need to, like, go for a walk, you know, go upstairs and just, you know, sit with your parents or something like that.
And then what about follow-up? Did they help you find therapy? Or what kind of follow-up did you get?
I did get a follow-up. And I don't know if it was directly from the crisis center, but my school counselor actually called me down to the office the day after. And like I said, I don't know if this was them or if it was just someone at school who, you know, had known who, you know, that I was going through some kind of thing. But my counselor directed me to Common Ground from there, and I went into kind of an eval, and they gave me a therapist.
And how did that work for you? How are you doing now?
You know, I definitely needed it, you know, someone to talk to. And his name was Brian, and he gave me a lot of tools that helped me get over my, you know, depressive cycles or my, you know, really negative cycles. So he gave me these positive cycles, told me, you know, start cycling positive things into my life. They're going to come back around and keep cycling. So after about 7-8 months of that, I started to feel that I was, you know, able to do it on my own. That's when I went and pursued other goals and made myself a happier person.
Are you at school or you got a career going? What's going on with you now?
I'm actually a professional magician now. I do a couple hundred shows a year around the nation. I carry a really positive message with my show, and I try to kind of uplift people's days. And, you know, a lot of my show is dealing with that kind of stigma of not being able to talk about, you know, if you're sad or talk about if there's something going on with your life because you feel that it's not important or that you can't do it.
So what would you tell, you know, any young person or any person really who's feeling overwhelmed or stressed out or even suicidal as you were feeling that night that you texted Common Ground?
Definitely get help. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Yeah, I feel like at that point in time, nothing really matters and you don't really feel anything and you just keep pushing. I mean, you use whatever tools you can to help yourself and stay happy. And then if you just keep pushing, I mean, the guy who won the Oscar just told a story about how he had tried to commit suicide as a teen and now he just throws up stage grabbing an Oscar, you know. I never thought that at 18, if I went on a national tour, I'd book a Vegas show and you know, if I would have taken my life, I never would have been able to do that kind of stuff.
And I also heard something that is a strong message for classmates and friends of someone, if you think, because you said you knew that friends, you reached out to friends and friends knew, and perhaps it was a friend of yours who went to the school counselor, and that made a difference too. So you're saying don't be afraid to go seek help on behalf of your friend.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing. If you see, you know, telltale signs of depression, or I actually, you know, I've seen many, especially coming from Lake Orion, you know, we have a giant suicide issue and, or had, I believe that
yes.
Hopefully it's calmed down. But, you know, and I think the biggest thing was no one really knew how to help. You know, I mean, a lot of people just say, oh, well, just be happy. Well, you know, it's not that easy. If your brain is sick, it's not like you can just get over the flu.
Sure.
I mean, that really is what it is. You know, your brain is sick, and if you don't take care of it, it's going to destroy itself.
But you certainly have helped us understand that a text message can be more powerful than some people, perhaps parents, might think.
Yeah, I mean, especially because a lot of kids aren't, you know, I wasn't at the time, I wasn't comfortable voicing, you know, my emotions. I wasn't comfortable, I wasn't comfortable with all these things. I feel that the texting was much, much greater because, like I said, I could put it down into words without having to speak it, with saving myself, I guess, what I felt at the time, but, you know, the embarrassment, kind of like writing in a diary, how, you know, some teenagers can write all these emotions into a diary, but they couldn't speak them out loud. Kind of the same way. It doesn't make it as kind of intimidating as, you know, calling someone and talking to them.
Anthony, we want to thank you for sharing your story with us and wishing you lots of luck on your career as a magician, because it certainly seems like, as well as working magic for people, you are doing outreach to people.
Yes, I try my best to, you know, help as many people as possible.
It was great to talk with you, Anthony. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. I really appreciate it.
And we have put crisis text line information on our website. Just head to the stateside link at michiganradio.org.